My sister is Sheila.
Yes, I'm trying to. Oh, there we go. I couldn't. It wasn't unmuting. I guess it was confused. Hi, I'm Sheila. Hi, everybody. People constantly joining. I didn't know it was a pink meeting. looking at Jeff. Looks great. So I'm a member of Al-Anon, and thanks, Judith, for asking me to share on We Agnostics. It's definitely one of my favorite parts of the big book. It's tempting to talk about the bedevilments, but I'm not going to do that, at least not for most of it. I actually want to tell a story and a brief story that for me is really related to this idea of faith and trust and being open to there being a God and there being a God and God being there for me. And Jeff, you may have been at the meeting actually where I came in, having had a little Facebook interaction. This is several years ago. And someone had uploaded an essay written by someone who was very upset by the idea of one person saying to another, things happen for a reason. And it was a well-written, substantial essay. And the person was very much felt that anybody who says that is trying to impose their views on somebody else. And it was kind of an interesting topic. And you know, a bunch of, some people had already written in corroborating. And I just want to say that I don't walk around saying things happen for a reason. And I think most of us are not so idiotic as to go up to someone whose child just died and say things happen for a reason or something like that. But what I wrote in the comments, I don't write in comments anymore. But what I wrote in the comment was something about what I felt was true for me was that after things happen and then I have a choice to live my life where it really looks in retrospect like they happened for a reason, which seemed to me a slightly different thing. And this upset a person or two in the thread. Our mutual friend eventually took it down. That was all I said because I didn't respond. But I remember coming into my next Al-Anon meeting going, this is something that really bothers me about this, not being like that people didn't agree with me. But it was a real learning opportunity for me, not about Facebook etiquette, but this idea of like seeing how, I've made some notes, seeing how like passionately people were defending there's no God, like in this group somehow. Like they were it just struck me as, it unnerved me initially, and then I kind of arrived at a real awareness, like, that applies to myself. That they were so, the essay was passionate, the people talking about it were passionate. You know, I was metaphorically stoned in the comments. I mean, like in the olden days, not with alcohol or drugs. And, you know, my comment wasn't really welcome. And that's what struck me is how interesting it is. You know, we think of passion is more about faith and believing. And, you know, I think a lot of people do have a lot of passion in the disbelieving. I remember reading a book by Leslie Temple Thurston, who's a really great writer of spiritual matters. And one thing she said is that people are ashamed of their divinity, and that struck me also. And the other part about this Facebook incident was how much easier in a way that it is to say no than it is to say yes. You know, in our fear grid that we do in the fourth step, you know, we kind of arrive at, you know, self-reliance fails me and there's no God. You know, so our fear is there's no God. But in this group, it seemed like there was a fear there is a God. So, sorry for laughing, but it's kind of funny when you say it out loud, which of course is really actually sitting on top of a fear there is no God. And I don't want to believe in God because, oh my God, if I believe in God and then there's no God, I'm so royally fucked. Excuse my French. I'm not supposed to swear in this group, right? Sorry. But you know what I mean? I'm screwed if there's no God, and I've been going along believing there's a God. I mean, God, I'd be so stupid, wouldn't I? So this isn't me taking other people's inventory. I also can see, like, it really got me thinking about the no thing. Somehow this idea of saying no is makes you feel like you're in control. And it keeps everything nice and small and manageable. Whereas the idea of yes, yes, there's a God, or yes, maybe at least there's, you know, at least I can say yes, maybe there's a God. That yes is so full, it's so expansive, it's into infinity, and it is not possible for me to control that. And, you know, it's, I'm a jazz musician. And this yes and no thing is really interesting. I think it came that when you're certainly improvising with others, and I think most art forms that are in a group format, we need to be willing to say yes to everybody else around us, no matter what they do. And I think this is, you know, life, art is life and life is art, you know, like if I go through life with a willingness to say yes. So who's going to let me know when I run out of time? By the way, somebody will, I hopefully, okay. You know, that's when the magic happens. it's really, I do find that, you know, artistic endeavors, and particularly in a group, same as I did a, just for the fun of it, I did a group comic improv afternoon class. The teacher kind of played a mean trick on us and had us all do stuff and then, you know, told us this yes thing, which, you know, you always say yes to what's ever happening. And it made me realize, like, in this moment, I was like, yeah, I kind of said no to everything that everybody did. You know, so I'm quite attracted to no. I know this. And also, I think any form of complaint and criticism is also a kind of a no. You know, whether it's a person or, you know, the timing of the traffic lights, that's one of my favorites. You know, I mean, I have, even in recovery, if you've talked a lot about how I walk around in life and I have this real difficulty not saying, oh, that would be better if they would just do such and such, you know, about things I actually don't know about. And I'm really trying to watch that because that's a form of a no. And, you know, we have this term, life on life's terms. That's, you know, when we're not accepting life on life's terms, we're in the no of it, you know? And, yeah, so these are all, like, very concrete, active ways in which I myself am at risk of going through life saying no, even while I'm trying to live a life of yes. let me just look at my notes. You know, the yes is the unknown. I think, you know, earlier, I've always thought there was a higher power, but I believed, that's not the leap for me. I absolutely, but I did not want to give up control that my little me self thought it had. For me, that was the obstacle. So that's one thing, you know, this yes thing. Which means it's too big for me to manage, and that I have to give up managing in order to be in the yes. And then I think, you know, a lot of people raise the question of how can there be a God in the world we live in, you know, when the world is such a mess and there's so much violence and there's so much cruelty and unfairness you know, the way I see it is what we see out there in the world of the world is basically the co-creation of our, you know, okay, let me see, how did I write this down to explain? It's like our co-creation. And the world of the world is our co-creation. It's indirectly God's creation because God gave us the free will to come down here and make mud pies, is how I think of it. You know, we just come down here and make mud pies. Okay, kids, go down there and make mud pies, make a big mess, you know, and you'll find out. And in addition, God gives us varying degrees of amnesia as to the fact that we are his children. So I'm sure there are exceptions. I can't speak for 7 billion people. But I think what we see out there is the product of, ego, fear-motivated activity by the probably the majority who believe that they are the separate self and are underneath it all fairly terrified. I know I can't do life on earth without God and aspiring and doing my best to be close to God, because without God in my life, in my awareness, my consciousness, honestly, it's just too terrifying, I think. Somehow, some way. I don't know if it's a pre-existing condition I came in with, if that's just part of the deal, or I learned it in my growing up in an alcoholic home where my parents did really try their best, but they were fear-driven, you know, they were terrified also underneath all the other behaviors. So, it's kind of like, they say necessity is the mother of invention. Well, it's like when you read this thing, it's page 54 in this group of pages. Oh, when we became alcoholic, crushed by a self-imposed crisis we could not postpone or evade, we had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or else he is nothing. God is or he isn't. What was my choice to be, or what was our choice to be? So it's like where necessity is the mother of surrendering, actually, according to the book. You know, it's sort of like when you get there, it's just like, actually, okay, what choice do I really have if I've done a good first step and I've really looked honestly and I'm a true-ism person? When I get to that paragraph, it's kind of like, yeah. And this is what I'm saying. I don't have a choice. I need to go with, get out of the debating society. Is there a God? Is there not a God? Is there a God? Is there not a God? You know, it's where we just, there fucking better be a God. And I'm going with that, So, which the rest of the steps help us with immensely, like I think, even in some of this stuff in this section of the book, we are already bleeding. We're foreshadowing the third step. And that's part of what the yes is, I turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And that's me saying yes, yes to God, your will, not mine, your agenda, not my agenda. That in a way, like I say this every second share, Mark H., getting up in the, waking up in the morning. God, I know you got plans for today. How can I be a part of it? It's not like, God, help me get, that car I want, or help me, move forward in my career. It's not like, God, what do you want? What do you want to do today? Let me help you. Give me a job. And it's, that's a yes. And, of course, I'm not going to be able to say that if I'm not willing to go along. I mean, for me at the beginning, it was just like, okay, I'm going to go along with this. And I'm going to go along with this third step idea. It's not like in an instant, Sheila mastermind controller fixer was handed it all over instantaneously. I'm not one of those people. It has had to be a process. And, obviously, I don't do that 100% every day, and I have to work the program, you know, really work it. And over 11 and a half years or whatever it is of BBA and program, that they coincide for me. My first steps were BBA. No, I can see that I'm getting better at it in terms of having so much more trust and faith. And thank God, because life on life's terms is pretty challenging. You know, it doesn't make all the problems go away. It makes it different how I feel about the problems, which swings me back to what I said in the Facebook page that upset everybody so much. Like, I thought I was the herald of great tidings, you know, but for some people, it's not great tidings. 5 minutes? Oh, wow, I haven't, yeah, like, talked beyond my time. Okay, wait, I have this. Here's another little bit. See if I can handle it in 5 minutes. 54. This bit where I just want to connect the dots between a couple of steps that I see, some dots I see. We found, too, that we had been worshipers. This is the first full paragraph on 54 of the big book. We found, too, that we had been worshipers. What a state of mental gooseflesh that used to bring us. Had we not variously worshipped people, sentiment, things, money, and ourselves? And then they go on to talk about a better motive. So that to me, you know, like when we get to four with the paperwork and the BBA stuff, I already mentioned the fear grid, so I don't know how many people have gotten that far in the steps. A lot of people here have done them numerous times, I know. That page two, the realization page, you know, where we look at, I think of it from the bottom up, fear, dishonesty, selfish attitudes and selfish actions, you know, like fear is the driver. You know, we're told this like so many times in the book. Fear is our main issue. I totally agree with this. That's what I've already just said. You know, it's being terrified. So what we do, what that page shows us, you know, the fourth step is showing us our individual detailed ways that we try to run the show. And this, in the delusion category, the dishonest category, what are the deals that I'm making? That's to me what they're talking about, like in the Bible when they say false idols, you know, like we're, and what they mean there. Like, to me, this is what this means. It's like, oh, in my delusions, which I have come up with, my little me ego comes up with these ways to cope with the fears because I'm living without God. And when I take people through this work, I do that kind of like a strategy. You know, if I get X to happen, Y will be true, and Y will be my antidote for these core fears that sit at the bottom, like I'm unlovable, I'm worthless, I'm not safe, I'm going to be abandoned. You know, these really deep ones that I think are just pretty much part of the human condition, actually. And what I worship is my solutions. Those are my false idols, because the only solution to those fears is my relationship with God and my consciousness of God, my conscious awareness of God in my life, which, me being an ism person and particularly around controlling, fixing, you know, I have to be doing, what do they call it? Jeff, I know I got this from you, I think, you know, but I have to do opposite actions. Because my ism and my nature are I want to control everything. And that means, you know, like in the delusions, what came up for me, oh, if I get this happening in my career, so I was worshiping my career. If I, you know, I need security around money, so if I do this, I will have enough money. Like very early on, I need to steal something, you know, when I was 20 and trying to support myself, I need to steal from the till because, you know, because that's going to keep me safe. And these are the kind of false idols, I think, that I can specifically see for myself that then drive other actions that create the chaos in my life and do this vicious circle thing of interfering with my relationship with God, if I have one, you know, which I didn't really when I was 20. I stopped stealing. I wasn't stealing all the time. It was just this, I figured out how to scam the till, and I did that. And that was probably the only time I was stealing. But and I made that amendment like about 2 years ago. It's like 20, whatever, 40 years later almost, you know. So I guess that's basically what I have to say, hop, skipping, and jumping about. So thank you again for having me share.
Thank you, Sheila. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I got a page of notes, and so that's good. And I love how you do link things back together again, and I really appreciate that. So thank you. It is now time for general sharing. Anyone who, let's see, so it's going to be in two parts. So the first part is for anyone who has worked the Big Book Awakening process using the Big Book workbook and the BBA guide up to this step that you can share at this time. Please stay on topic, which is We Agnostics, pages 51 through 57. And then after that, I will call some time for those who are newer to the process or who have not done this step two yet. We'll have some time for you afterwards. So, who would care to share at this time on the topic of step two, We Agnostics? And we'll do 3 minute shares. Would somebody care to be the timer? Okay, I'll go ahead and keep time. All right, when you hear the buzzer, please wrap it up. Karen, are you speaking?
I'm happy to do timekeeping. Sorry, I was talking to you and I was muted. Sorry.
Yeah, if you can just let people know at 3 minutes, that would be great.
Yeah.
And now the meeting is open. Who would care to share? Go ahead and unmute yourself, or star 6 if you're on the phone.
Hi, my name's Elaine. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, very good. Nice. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, compulsive overeater, alcoholic, lots of different things. Nice to see everyone. I feel like an altar boy here. This jumper looks a bit, yes, strange, but I have to say that my ego. Sheila, thank you so much. It was really nice to hear you. I think it's, I don't know, just exactly what I needed. I didn't take notes, and I kind of wish I did, because there was so much in it that I want to talk about, but I just have to trust that the main things will kind of come out. And when you talked about how passionate people were about that no, about there not being a God, that was really interesting, and it made me think that actually maybe I'm fearful that there is a God. Like, I get those moments, you know, when it's like either God is or God isn't. I'm like, oh my God, but what if God is? And what if I'm just, there's nothing to worry about and everything's going to be fine? You know, I find that really hard to deal with for some reason, which is a strange thing. You know, I'm just more comfortable with things being a bit crappy, you know, and, you talked about, you know, getting up and being like, okay, God, I know you have plans for today. What would you like me to do? And actually, that's really what I needed to hear, because I've slipped back into things being about what my plan is for the day, or what my, you know, for the first time I'm in a position where I'm able to save money, which is a good thing to be able to do. But because I'm an addict in all areas, it can become a higher power, you know? And it's just like allowing God to bring these wonderful things to me, but just to keep right-sized about it, you know? Because when sometimes I think it's easier for me to sit in lack than to have something I want, because when I have something I want, I just cling on to it because I'm so fearful of losing it. And actually, it did make me laugh when you were talking about the Facebook interaction and how you said your part. And like, I'm so avoidant that even, you know, hypothetically, I'm not even, wouldn't even like get into that. That I'm just like, it makes me really uncomfortable. Like just discourse between people, disagreement between people, that I'm just like, I'm just not going to get involved. You know, because yes, it's, I don't know, it's nearly my time, but I just wanted to say, thank you. You've given me a lot to kind of think about tonight, in a good way. I'll leave it there.
Thanks, Elaine.
Thanks, Elaine. Thanks for sharing. And I love the sweater, by the way. So cute. Who else wants to share? Go ahead and
I will. I'll unmute and talk. Thanks, Sheila. That was really good. And I was listening and going, yeah. And it was kind of interesting because I was just sort of thinking, I have a friend that often, you know, she said to me once, why don't you just spend a whole month and just say yes to everything that comes your way or whatever. And I remember thinking, oh, my God, that could be really, you know, good or bad, and I didn't do it, but I often think, you know, I wonder, you know, she often says it does, it's really good, and I kind of feel like, I liked when you said it's about control, because obviously I don't like to have control, lose control, and but it was kind of interesting, and then I was kind of thinking about that Facebook thing and thought, oh yeah, okay, so it is fascinating. It's just interesting what people think, but I suppose for me, look, I've been in recovery for 22 years in AA, but OA for about 4 years, and I've only done the BBA. I did it nearly a couple of years ago, and I've got to say it really changed my life. And I think what it did was, and you mentioned this, that, you know, when we look at, you know, fear is under everything, and then, you know, when we do our fourth step, and I mean, I tell you, for me, it was that fourth step was like, oh my God, I don't know how many times I've done the steps before, but to really, really see some of the behaviors that I just was not willing to let go of, and it's because of fear, you know, just fear that I'm not going to get what I think I want, you know, and it's very interesting, like, you know, I've been, you know, saving for a flat and, you know, I'm in my later years and, you know, I've just started, you know, been saving and then all of a sudden, you know, something happened, you know, my flatmate said, oh, I'm, you know, giving me 2 months notice, and I went and looked at a couple of places, put offers in and got them, and it's like, oh my God, maybe this is meant to happen, you know, and it's just trying not to go into the fear about, oh my God, I can't do it, this is for the next 18 years of my life, you know, all those things that I love getting into that chaos sort of creating, because it just makes me feel, oh God, I'm alive, and you know, but then I just have to say, God, you know, please just help me to calm down, relax, and just do the next directed thing, which I generally do. And I kind of liked also, Sheila, what you said, and I've got 8 seconds left, is that, to, you know, Mark said, God, what would you like me to do to help you today? And I thought, I'm going to take that. So thank you very much for your share. It was great. I really got a lot out of it.
Thanks, Karen. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Hi, my name's Deborah, compulsive bulimic anorexic recovered. And thank you so much, Sheila. I think the thing that stuck out for me in your share was about the being blocked by, first of all, in We Agnostics, it says, you know, God is everything or he's not. And in We Agnostics, it talks about being blocked by all this pomp and circumstances and things like that. But the thing that got me was the ego. I know that my ego is an extremely problematic little devil, but I didn't realize that I was worshipping that thing, ego. And what I mean by that is ego driving me to do things, driving me to be very selfish, willful, not listening to God, being blocked by God, the ego. At the root of all of this, these things that I was worshipping was the ego. And it was really nice to be reminded in your share, Sheila, that this thing, I need to die to it. Because either God is everything or he is nothing. And when I put the ego, my ego, before God, then God is not everything. And then I'm going into agnosticism. Then I am relying on self and I'm not trusting God. And that's why it's so beautiful to be reminded of this very powerful chapter called We Agnostics, because it is the foundation for me when I'm very clear on my step one. The We Agnostics is what drives every other step that I'm doing going forward. Every step that I'm doing going forward is a spiritual step. And underneath those spiritual steps are spiritual principles. So it's really good to be reminded about this. And something I did the other day, and I don't do it often, was I listened to a tape by Bob O, a tape, a podcast, and he said, why not try inviting God into every situation in your life today? And I have tried that a few times and not being very successful. I've sort of woken up saying, yeah, inviting God into this, and going to the shops, inviting God into this. And then by the time it's, I don't know, before midday, I've forgotten I've invited God into my decision, my life, my everything. So thank you again. It's wonderful to be reminded, Sheila. I'm off. Bye-bye. My time's up.
Call them for what?
Call them for the script reading.
Can we, Deborah Forbes Harding, could you mute yourself, honey? We can hear you. There we go. I muted you.
Sorry.
No problem, hon. Okay, thank you, the other Deborah. And thank you for sharing. Who else would care to share?
I'll share.
Go ahead, please do, Carol.
Oh, thank you so much for speaking to us. And I love the part about the Facebook dialogue. And, you know, what I thought about was, I totally get it. I used to be in that, you know, debating. And when I finally came into the BBA and I had that first step experience and came into We Agnostics, for me, it was just that changed. Everything changed. I wasn't about debating anymore. It was about I needed help, and I needed a miracle. And I remember Dan used to talk about just referring to it as power. Did I have the power or did I not have the power? And for me, it was so clear to me, I did not have the power. Even though I had a relationship with a higher power, I still didn't have the power. And for me, that was so profound, because it just showed me that there was blockage somewhere, and I didn't have to debate anymore about who's God. You know, is your God right? Is my God right? Is you know, my God better than yours? All of that stuff was just off the table. It was just about, do I need to find power greater than myself and greater than any other human power? And I think that part is really important too, because I had tried other human power as well. You know, I had tried doctors and therapists and all kinds of power, and none of them worked. So for me, it was just really clearing the field. Did I need power from something that I just don't totally understand or get, and I don't even know how to get it except to go forward with the rest of the steps? And wow, what a mind blower, and what a spiritual experience, because I really did have a personal experience and a relationship with a power that really cleared the way and brought me freedom. And, you know, I just love that about the BBA. It's a spiritual experience. It was something that I had to go through to get to. It was like I had to go through a certain path, take those steps to see what it was that was blocking me. And a lot of us know who are in BBA that we get to see how self manifested in various ways, and fears and delusions were exactly what was blocking me anyway. And that was exactly what was blocking me. I didn't know I was running the show. I didn't know I was trying to play God. I didn't see how it was. I didn't see how that was happening. But through doing the spiritual process with God showing me, I could see in a way that I'd never seen before. And how powerful is that, right? To be able to see, oh, wow, yes, I am playing God, you know? Yes, I am trying to control and drive the show. I didn't know. And to be able to see that and then go forward with an admission kind of like, yes, I'm willing to stop. I'm willing to accept there's a better way, one that I don't know yet or understand. And hopefully the belief that there is a power greater than me that will show me and deliver me.
Carol, that's your time.
Thank you. And provided that way is just so miraculous to me. So thank you for sharing that. And I totally get it, you know, the Facebook page with everybody debating, you know, is there God? Is there not a God? You know, is there a... anyway, thanks for sharing and just thanks for letting me share. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks so much, Carol. Good to have you here. Thank you.
Chair?
Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm Jeff, recovered Al-Anon. Thank you, Sheila. What a great, some of the things you said really jumped out. People ashamed of their divinity. That really struck me. I remember, you know, those times where you go into an art museum and something hits you, and we went to a Barbara Kruger exhibit, and she does a lot of pieces, but then a little blurb, a little sentence underneath some of the pieces, and one of them said, "You invest in the divinity of the masterpiece," and it really hit me. Because I at the time there I was very very still am, but I'm very enamored of Shakespeare and his gifting and his ability to put into words, into my language, things that are so beautifully spoken and read, and you know he was a kind of higher power for me, but at the time I thought you know, masterpieces are just bullshit, and people just invest in their divinity. So I pivoted into my edgy artist. But I realized that it was part of my nature to invest in the divinity of something, and that's what this book says: that deep down in each of us, and every man, woman, and child, is a fundamental idea of God, and that I've always invested in the divinity of other things, of women, of work. Work has been my idol. I'm glad you mentioned idols there. People, sentiment, things, money, and ourselves. And it's so interesting because it is like that story of the fish. You know, like we get into this program to find the higher power. And one of the AA guys mentioned it was like two fish swimming around. And the ocean is the higher power, and you know, another fish swims by them and says, "Hey guys, isn't the ocean grand today?" And then he swims off, and they say to each other, "What was he talking about? This ocean? I don't know. Well, let's go try to find it." So they, you know, they swim away and they try to find the ocean, and it's just, you know, God is everything. And for me, it had to, like, it's a simple version of a higher power in that it's good. God is good. And that people have mentioned here, too, that God is everything. So if God is everything, then everything that comes my way is sometimes a way of pruning me because I am God's garden.
Time.
Oh, that's time. Wow. Thanks.
No worries.
You can finish your sentence, though, Jeff.
You don't have to stop there.
I'm God's garden. and the good, and the bad in the seventh step. When I gave the good and the bad, this is what I wanted to leave the group with, because this has really shifted it for me, is that I always thought, God, if you will bless me in this area, I will give it to you entirely. And I've learned through experience that it's the opposite, is that if I give it the entire thing to God, I receive blessing. That's been my experience. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm glad you finished your sentence. we're okay. Actually, I might jump in myself for a couple of minutes here. I'm Judith, compulsive eater, Al-Anon Chaos Creator. And thank you so much, Sheila. That was really rich. And I like that. The forms of saying yes and the forms of saying no. And first my mind went to, like, you got to stop saying yes to everybody who asks for things. And that's getting a lot better. I say no a lot more often. I said no 3 times today already, which is amazing. But I know what you're talking about. It's saying yes to the fact that God is everything, all things. And later in 55 it says the demonstration, you know, like flow through me. The demonstration of that miraculous demonstration, that thing that couldn't have happened unless it was of some kind of other power. And it's as old as I am, I know that, because there's no way I could have made it through my existence without it. I just got blocked up, you know, and life on life's terms is really, you mentioned that, it's like, it's pretty tough. And I know one of our members has a great saying. She says, God won't give you more than you can handle, but life will give you more than you can handle without God. And I love that. Makes a lot of sense to me. So I do try to say yes to the unknown more. And I was told that meditation is about getting to the unfamiliar. And I say yes to that more and more minutes a day now, and trying to be very conscious more often. But going back, though, that little me, I love that you mentioned the little me self. You know, I wrote, like, it doesn't want to give up control because it's worried that it didn't get enough love and it won't get enough love. And unconsciously, my unconscious got addicted to trying to find that and to trying to get that. And even if I got it and I get it, I mean, I've got a gorgeous husband who loves me to pieces for 21 years, and it's not about that love. It's about the enough. Am I enough? Is there enough? Are you enough? Is God enough? And I bump my head on a lot of things and get amnesia. That's how I get amnesia. I bang into things. Trying to find love beyond the 192 versions of fear that I found in my first BBA inventory, which was shocking that I was that afraid. And, like, gosh. So the self-imposed crisis, no doubt. But I link it now to the unconscious part of me that has to get humble. It's not the conscious part. That wants to be humble. It really does. The conscious part of me loves the program. It loves the fact it's figured out step one in so many areas of life. But it's the unconscious that I have to have woken up and I have to have cleaned out. And it needs to be done. And I can't do that job myself. There's just not enough power. I've tried, believe me. I have shoved stuff on top of it. I'll wrap up with this. You know, I have eaten myself to near death. I have tried to control and fix things to crazy levels, or overdo it to such ridiculous levels. Stress could definitely take me out at any time. But when I'm in that surrendered place, I feel like I'm saying, yes, you can have all of me, the unconscious ego, the infantile ego, that demonstration, and you can have all the good and just tell me how to use it properly. So I'm saying yes to the pause now, the waiting, the pausing. That, for me, is the most beautiful place right now. It's really worth it. I'll pass on that. Okay, it's time, though, to open up for the Crossfire meeting, where anyone can pose a question or a comment on the topic, and we'll ask the speaker first to respond if you'd like to, and anybody else who wants to respond if there is a question. And anybody can share on the topic or of Weird Gnostics, or you may pose a question. Who would like to jump in? Anybody got a question or comment? Anybody can. You don't have to have done this work so far. Catherine, I saw you came off mute, but we can't hear you. Turn your phone up a bit. Can you speak up? No. That's odd. We heard you before at the beginning of the meeting, and now you've frozen. Catherine, maybe call back in, and then you can be the next speaker. We can't hear you. No. There we go. I heard something then. No. Sorry. You want to text it to me and I'll give it to Sheila. You could text it to me and then I'll read it out if you want. And let's take someone else if you'd like to go ahead and ask a question or make a comment. Maybe Catherine will come back in.
Am I the only newbie here?
Now we heard you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep, we can hear you now. No, now we cannot hear you.
Should it be on full blast, is it?
That's better. Stay there. Give it a try, otherwise we'll move on.
Yeah.
Catherine, we're only getting like one word every 25. Okay. Who else would care to share?
Can you hear me?
Who's that?
Okay. Catherine, you can hear me?
We can only hear you when you say, can we hear you?
Never mind.
And then we can't hear you after that. If I was you, I'd turn your screen off and see if that works better. One last try. Okay, do you want to speak now?
Heard me now?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, quickly, go ahead because...
I'll stay here then. Thank you.
In case we can't get you.
Yes, okay, sorry about that. Thank you for your share and everybody else's share and Judith for taking the... No, so...
No, Catherine, unfortunately, we're only getting, like, a few words and then you stop completely. Sorry about that.
Okay, we'll have okay.
No.
No, it's not working.
It's you not can working.
No, thank sorry. You. Thank you for your share, Sheila.
Okay, who else would care to share at this time? I'll text her. Or anybody, Robert, would you like to jump in?
Can you hear me? This is
Jay.
You seem can you hear me? This is Jay in Florida.
Yes, go ahead, Jay. Oh, we've got the same problem.
If you can hear me, I went out and came back. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I see you. If you can hear me, because my video is off.
We can hear you, but it's sounding a bit like Catherine, where we're getting like
five... Okay, hey everybody, this is Chaos Creator. And I was late to this meeting today because of business. And I'm assuming you can hear me, so I'm just going to continue. Anyway, so yes. I kind of got the gist of the agnosticism. And I know when I started the BBA process, I had no idea how agnostic I was in so many different places. And it started with my food and my food scale, my food plan, the people in my life. And it just... exponentially grew until BBA has shown me how to begin to bring God in all aspects of my life. And it's changing, and I see it. I see the miracles, and I see the areas where I still have a lot of work to do, which is exciting in so many different ways. And this weekend I was on a hike, and there was someone there who I look at as my teacher. This person has taught me so much about giving things to God, not taking the bait, not creating conflict and chaos. And after a 3 or 4 hour hike with this person and several other people, I got in my car and I went, you know, God, when you do it, it just works better. It doesn't mean for me that I'm not uncomfortable and I don't have feelings around it. It means that I'm not in the middle of it, pumping my adrenaline and creating that conflict. So I'm glad I could make this meeting today. That's really what I want to put out there, that this thing works. When I bring God in, it just works. It doesn't mean that I'm not uncomfortable and I'm not awkward and I'm not available to learn. And I understand each time I get to the other side of that, there's God sitting there ready for me. So I pass on that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jay. Thanks so much. Thanks for everybody's patience as well with the timing there and with the sound of everything. Thank you, though. We got you, Jay. We have time for about a 2-minute share. Anybody else want to jump in for 2 minutes? Probably not a time for a big question. Anybody want to check in who hasn't checked in?
Hi, it's Robin. Robin, can you hear me? Am I okay? I did catch your share, Sheila, and I felt really at peace. So it's great to be here in this meeting, and to see everyone. We Agnostics is a powerful chapter. I think God. I feel blessed because before I came into 12 Steps, I was definitely an agnostic. I was not a kind of atheist, but I was kind of like sitting on the fence with God. And coming to meet, just meeting alone helped me get in touch with this sort of higher power. And what I want to do with BBA as someone who's just coming in new, fresh, is get closer to a higher power and not focus on the symptom of being an overeater, you know, which is what I've been doing for 20 years in OA. So someone did say, you know, stop focusing on the symptom and, you know, get to the heart of the matter. So I guess that's why I've returned to BBA. So I just wanted to check in. Great to see everyone.
Wonderful to have you here. Really nice to have you with us, Robert. We look forward to seeing you more. Thank you.
Cheers.
Okay, guys, because we have a committee meeting tonight, this will be the time we have to wrap up. Usually we go to 15:15. So let's see. Yes. Are there any quick announcements, apart from the fact we're having a committee meeting? The BBA community is an important support mechanism which we use to outreach and connect. It's key to recovery, and we can make outreach calls, so we can also encourage you to add your number to a private list where you can contact others and to gain access to that list and to add your name to it. And if, certainly if you are able to sponsor or you're looking for a sponsor, just email bbauk@gmail.com. That's bbauk@gmail.com, and I'm going to put that in the chat. I didn't go in the chat, but there we go. Okay, BBA Oh, my computer is spinning. It's the ball of death on the Mac. Here we go. There we go. That looks wrong to me. Actually, it's not that. It's Contact VBA. That's what I'm reading in the script, but it's wrong. Contact VBA UK at gmail.com. Ignore that last one. I thought it looked wrong in the script. Okay. And we'll provide you access. The list contains private and confidential information about us, so it's strictly not for onward sharing. It's only for the sole use of connecting with others and sharing experience, strength, and hope. Once again, I would like to thank Sheila. Thank you for bringing a wonderful conversation to us and some great I appreciate that. And that going on here. Okay. Let me see. I've lost my script. One second. Let me get that one back on the screen there. Oop, I minimized it. Now I can't get it back. Okay. So I think that's about it. Yes. So, I have a frozen screen too. Okay. So I'd also like to remind everybody to go to bbaworks.com website and bbaworks.co.uk website to listen to lots of good audios. You'll find those under those websites under audio. And we will close now with the seventh step prayer, which is found on page 76. Page 76. Feel free to unmute if you'd like to join, or you can just say it quietly in your own space. Sheila, would you like to lead us out with that prayer?
Sure. Okay, prayer. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Please grant me strength as I go up from
here. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all
your bidding.
Good and bad.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks again for everyone attending. Thanks again, Sheila. This is the end of our meeting, and anybody who is staying on for the committee meeting, please, I'll just hold the line open. And look forward to seeing you all next week. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay. It got really bubbly there. I'm not sure if that was my line or anybody else's line. Or, hey, Suzanne, it just got a little bit bumpy. I don't know why. Whether it just slowed down or who knows.
That's technology.
Yeah, that is technology. You know, it's interesting that we don't have half of the committee here. And so I guess we can go ahead with it, make our own decisions. or we can delay, one of the two. We have the script, that's, you know, so anyway. We have certain things on the agenda. Why don't we open with the Serenity Prayer, and then we can see where we go from there. God, grant me the serenity.
To accept the things I can't change. The courage to change the things I can.
On the agenda tonight is that's not it, that's the updated script. One second, group conscience meeting agenda. We just have the items of new speaker getters coming in potentially. How we're doing setting up the seventh edition, except Darren is out sick tonight. The draft of the script and just some comments on that. And any more? No, I don't think we are doing any more thoughts about Zoom. Is that right? We already decided that last month, didn't we? That we're sticking with this. Can somebody remind me of that?
I don't know. I know that we had talked about. I think watching the muting and the unmuting to try to figure out if people can remember just to do that as distract the main speaker.
Yeah. In the new script, I also put it in the beginning, in the middle, and at the end.
That's what I was just doing. That's why I didn't, I just went through the script.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I saw it in the beginning and the end. So just show me where it is in the middle. That's a great idea. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I think it's there in the middle anyway. So I
made some notes on it, on great. The script itself.
Great. I'll put it on the screen in a moment. Yeah. Jeff, are you able to stay? Because you said you may have a meeting to go to, right?
I can stay till for another 9 minutes, just when this usually ends, yeah.
Okay, very good. Okay, so I think we can just get, let's us try to be end at 8:30. Let's see if we can, at 8:30 the hour, so, because we don't have a huge amount. And if we haven't finished the script, it's okay too. Oh my God, did I stop the recording? I hope so. Anyway, I'll edit it if I didn't. Let me just check 1 second.